Yeah, baby.
All right, we're rolling.
Okay.
All right.
The man across from me is none other than Bobby Flacco. And let me just like set the story for why I had to have this dude on my podcast. He is good friends with Uncle Laser, who's been on the show. And he plays with his band, the Nether Hour, which is a fantastic local Austin band. And they play every Sunday at Latchkey. It's a residency. And yeah. I went and saw them. And while they were playing, I'm like, Laser, I got to get him on my show. I got to do it. So here we are with Mr. Flacco.
Hey, what's going on, Zach? Thank you for having me, bro. I'm just getting this sucker tune so we could jam it as we go about.
Yeah, he's gonna intro it with a little tune.
Yeah, but thanks for having me on this motherfucker, dude. I appreciate it, man. It was fun on Sunday. You know, that's what we do.
We'll talk about the gig after this little
ditty.
This little ditty you're about to throw
ditty.
On.
Little ditty. All right, I think that's tune enough.
Can you hear yourself good? Good.
Yeah, right. That's cool. That's chilling, dude. I love this.
All right, Bobby, take it away.
There's a hit on my head. I might be tracked down and not shot dead. I could use your good juju, babe, I could use your sweet voodoo, yeah. Ooh, and that next part is reaching high, baby.
That's all right. You got it.
I gotta give you a little taste. Now we'll get back into that sucker in a little bit. Let's do that.
Oh man, you sound fucking good, man. Still,
I appreciate it, dude.
What's that?
I know I'm saying. Yeah, no, I'm not the sanest. You know what I mean? People are like, they're like, are you saying sadist? I was like, no, dude.
The sanest.
No, the sanest.
Yeah, so that was fucking awesome, man. That's their big song, The Hit. Check them out on Spotify.
Yeah, dude, that's a little snippet.
And it's even more important that you guys are finally releasing your debut album, right?
Yeah, actually, dude. I mean, I don't know whenever this drops, but this Thursday, so April 13th mm-hmm. will be the release date of our whole entire album, Rattlesnake Gumbo.
Sick name.
Thanks. I'll explain it to you. It just comes from like the origins of like where each band member's from. You know, whenever we started back in 2018, I played a gig with my buddy Jerron Marshall, who was the keyboard player for the Black Pumas. He is, you know, whenever they're playing, they just played CMT, which is awesome, all that. But nonetheless, he would bring me out to play these gigs with him where he was just on the keys and I would sing and play guitar to accompany him. So for 2018, South by at Las Perlas, right next to 7 Grand over here on 7th, that's where I went to play with him. We were opening up for, I think at the time was the Nick Swift band or Bat City Rhythms, what he used to go by. And then it was Swamp Brew, who is my current band members, mm-hmm. basically, you know, mm-hmm. even the drummer's about to start playing with us, but we opened for them and then they heard me and the guy that put on the show at the time, Judson Green, rest his soul. He was like, dude, I can get you booked. You know what I mean? You don't got a drummer. Like, what's going on with you? I was like, dude, I mean, I want to play music. I just get in where I fit in. And I was like, well, I'll tell you what, we're going to start booking you. And then South by just snowballed, dude. Like, it was like an avalanche. It was like that one gig, 30-minute gig, mm-hmm. turned into like four more gigs at four different venues with a band that was just thrown together, which was at that time gonna become Nether Hour, you know. So Bercy started playing bass with me and it was great, you know. They're Louisiana boys, that's how I met
right
them.
so the Texas and Louisiana rattlesnake and gumbo.
Rattlesnake gumbo,
that's awesome.
I'm the rattlesnake, them boys are the gumbo.
So my experience with you guys, the first time I saw you guys play was this past Sunday, and what I noticed was You have this cult following that's very palpable. It's noticeable. So, like, those people that go every Sunday to watch you guys play, they're singing along to your original songs. Yeah. Songs I'd never heard before. But, like, I look around and people are yelling the fucking lyrics.
Yeah.
That, to me, is, like, that's how this shit starts.
Yeah.
Just having this group of people that you can reach out and touch who also know your lyrics.
Yeah.
And that, like, I'm trying to think who. Oh, I was watching Turnstile.
Okay.
And like the way that they started back in 2000 something or whatever, they were in South by Southwest and they just like had a gig and then they had this small little cult following that they could reach out and touch and then they grew and grew and grew. That on top of good music that people can stream is like the way to go. And I feel like for you guys, like it's definitely there. It's definitely possible.
Right.
Well, you got to believe that, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. But I would say that the tangibility of it is where we, that's kind of where we rode that wave with it. You know, I mean, being there, showing up and playing as much as we could to get people to know like, oh yeah, these guys sound like this all the time. This is what they do. And I mean, that takes work. We were doing that before the pandemic and during the pandemics, whenever we wanted to move in together, because we were like, all right, dude, like, you know, what are we going to do? You know, we all have essential jobs, cleaning pools, building fences, whatever we were doing for the money. But we're like, dog, like if we move into one house and we just start like to really hone in and sharpen the sword about what our sound's going to be like, we craft a sound around our favorite artists, you know, Thin Lizzy, like I said, the Allman Brothers, Skinner, all these bands, all our favorite moments of every song. Let's write songs that encapsulate that. So, I mean, hours a day, dude, for what, 1.5 years, you know, over a year for pandemic, we just were locked in a house doing that.
So the way that you guys sound for people listening or watching, this is my three that I think you guys sound like. And I think you're going to like this a lot. You're going to be
Hit me with it.
Okay. Thin Lizzy.
All right.
Van. Fucking Van the Man.
Yeah.
Which is a compliment to you, by the way.
Right, yeah, yeah, absolutely.
And then Lost Lonely Boys.
I fuck with it, man. I love them. I think they're great.
And the only reason I say Lost Lonely Boys is because you guys have this kind of whimsical harmonic structure to your songs. Like, the way that you guys do your choruses, the way that you guys do your backing vocals. I find that a lot of bands don't pump backing vocals in enough. And, like, it, I mean, from your experience, doesn't it change the fucking game?
Bro, harmony is my favorite thing. Harmony is the reason I sing. Because when I was young, I never wanted to be the lead singer ever. Right. I wanted to fucking be Eddie Van Halen. I wanted to be Angus Young. I didn't want to fucking, I was like, dude, singing's gay. You know what I mean? That's just like whenever you're younger,
yes.
But like, you know, so I was like, dude, I'm going to fucking shred, dude. That's all I want to do. But as you go on, you know what I mean? Growing up, I grew up around a lot of Tejano and all that mariachi music and country music as
Yeah, so I nailed it with Lost Lonely Boys.
Yeah, you nailed it because harmony is so crucial to just the fullness of sound. And to me, it's like everything, dude. Like, it's the most fun part about writing is to make harmony stacks.
It's like a little game, too, when you can, like, play, like, the, you know, the off, like, fifth, or you can you know what I mean? Like,
some dude's playing lead,
and you're just like, like trying to fucking get in there, like sneak in. It's like a fun little game. It's like pulling, you can do it with your instrument always. Like that's the funnest shit. Like I love like syncopation. So I'm much more rhythmic in like all of my playing, like whether it's guitar, obviously drums, you gotta be rhythmic, but I love like the tension you can create with syncopation.
Yeah.
And I think like the tension you can create melodically with your guitar, but also with your voice is like such an underutilized tool.
Yeah.
Now, the reason why I think you guys are super interesting is because it's like this rebirth of like 70s music. So did you see Everybody Wants Some, that movie?
Not that I can recall off top.
So you know the movie Dazed and Confused?
Yeah.
So Dazed and Confused, made by Richard Linklater. Famous director. He did another movie called like Boys or something, I think, and it spanned over 10 years.
So Boyhood.
Boyhood.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, with Ethan Hawke. Yeah.
Which is like legendary.
Great movie.
Yeah.
Based here, I think.
So Everybody Wants Some. By the way, Dazed and Confused, based in Texas. Everybody Wants Some, based it's about a baseball team in the '70s, maybe early '80s. In West Texas, or not West Texas, I think it was Texas State, actually.
It
might have been somewhere.
My alma mater, dude.
Some state university, okay? So I picture these dudes kind of with, like, a little bit of flair at the bottom of their pant. You know, nothing crazy, not, like, crazy bell bottoms or anything like that.
Right.
Some Texas boys going out to the club or to like the bar or something, getting a pitcher of beer, and your fucking band is playing.
Yeah.
So
it's badass.
Yeah, and it's like this. The reason why I say that is like you guys are definitely you're like riff based. You guys have fucking, a lot of your leads are riff based.
Yeah.
And rather than kind of like you can, I don't know if you guys do this, but your chorus could be a fucking riff.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And then you'll also harmonize those riffs between you and the other guitarist. What's his name?
Bishop.
Bishop.
Right.
And I find that so, like, so cool. That's that Thin Lizzy thing.
Yeah.
And that.
Twin leads.
Yeah, twin leads. And like, just this, it's hard for me to explain it, but this 70s feel that, like, why the fuck hasn't it made a resurgence? You know what I mean? And if you guys can lead the way in that, I think you guys could go the fucking distance, whatever that means.
Yeah, well, I know. And that being said, thank you, because I do appreciate all of that, because that's definitely what we're going for. And I do think that we are in the forefront of it, but I've just heard it being done for a while, because the thing with us, dude, is that we, like, how we're doing it different is we threw ourselves out there. Like, we threw ourselves out. We're going to play every gig, because it's like, some people, this sound is existing and it's coming back. Like, I know people from New Braunfels, you know what I mean? Like, there's a band, Electric Gold, fantastic. I think, who is it? White Dog. Great bands that I've known out here. Acid Carousel is definitely another band that gets down. But, like, these bands are popping up here and there at, like, these special events, you know what I mean, or, like, gigs, and they're kind of, like, spacing it out. And I get that, because we almost thought that would cause a better draw instead of oversaturating. And it was like, no, absolutely
Bro,
not.
You guys are doing something brilliant that you didn't know you were doing. You're touching people.
Right, right.
Like, okay, how many people would you say come to Latchkey? Like, 150? Something like that?
Yeah, I mean, if it caps at, because I know sometimes there's a line out. So, I mean, I don't know if that's 150, 200, you
right.
know, whatever.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Probably like 50% of those people.
Right.
I'd say 50% have seen y'all before.
Mm-hmm.
And then a substantial amount of that 50% know your lyrics.
Yeah.
So in order to know someone's lyrics means you have to give a shit.
Yeah.
You have to. There's no, like, so that means that, like, that the value in that is, like, worth 1,000 Spotify plays.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Any day, man. You know, like I said, I mean, it's tangible. Like, we're right there, and, I mean, you can count on it. Well, you could show up, know what to expect. You know what I mean? Know it's going to be fun. It's going to be a family vibe, a good time. But it all comes back to, like, you know what I mean, that 70s rock and roll era, whenever I know it was the best, like we were talking about on the way over here. I think Woodstock 69 is something that everybody knows about or hears about in their life, and the artists, I mean, everybody just killed it there. But, like, what I think the 70s did is, like, these bands just harnessed that energy and, like, what that musicianship was and turned it into, like, 70s rock and roll. And,
yeah.
Like, that is, to me, my favorite era of rock and roll, dude. I mean, I love music through and through.
You know what it was? It was like, here are the, exactly what you said.
Yeah.
The guys broke through and created this thing, and then we found the actual virtuosity.
Right, right. They broke through, exactly.
Yeah, so the guys broke through, and then these guys refined it.
Yep,
right?
Exactly.
And then the refinery in the 80s came from electronic, and there's some pretty good fucking 80s bands that utilize electronics, but, like, what happened was that kind of saturated into this pop weirdness. But yeah, man, like, I just love y'all's sound, and I think we are definitely in need of it. I mean, look at what's that band that, like, copies Led Zeppelin kind of?
Greta Van Fleet.
Yeah.
I already knew, dude.
Yeah, Greta Van Fleet.
Knew.
And look, I saw them live here at ACL. It was fun. It was awesome. But, like, people are fucking obsessed with them. Why? Because they play rock and roll, and rock and roll has been dead for forever.
Yeah.
You know, it's
those
not
kids rock out.
Yeah.
I mean, much as they, and I do agree, like, they definitely sound fucking almost to the T like Led Zeppelin, but
that's fine.
Itself,
cool.
Dude, I mean, you know how hard it is to sound just like Led Zeppelin? Like, they are possibly one of the great, for sure one of the greatest, but they are possibly the greatest fucking rock and roll band. But then
and
it comes down to Sabbath, and then it comes to Thin Lizzy, because, I mean, there's just components of each of these bands. And that's where we got our sound from, dude, was pulling from here.
I'm in the midst. I can add you to my playlist.
Please,
you know,
do.
On Spotify.
Fuck yeah.
I'm in the midst of I just made a playlist called Fuck You, the 70s Were Awesome.
Yeah.
So it's all my favorite 70s songs in there.
Oh, man.
I'll add you in there, and you just pump it in.
I'd love to. Yeah, dude.
You're from where in Texas?
So I was born in Harlingen, Texas, and I grew up in a little town called, outside of Sebastian, between Sebastian and San Benito, which San Benito's where Freddie Fender's from. That's where Charlie Crockett's from.
Wow.
Yeah, like just back, dusty dirt roads, cotton fields, sugar cane fucking everywhere. Just nothing but that. And that's where I was born, but I grew up in Kingsville with my aunt and uncle, because whenever I was five, my parents passed away, and I moved to Kingsville with my aunt and uncle, who then adopted me. My brother and sister were way older at the time, and they went to college in Kingsville. So I was five. They were like 16, 17, or no, 17, 18, around that age. So they had to go straight to college and shit. But then I grew up basically 5 to 18 in Kingsville, Texas, which is about, you know, 30 to 45 minutes, like what, southwest of Corpus Christi? Yeah, but it's still like right by the bay. Like I grew up fishing and hunting on the King Ranch and shit, but that's about it, man. That's why it's so heavily influenced.
So you grew up basically not knowing your parents?
No, dude. My parents passed whenever I was 5 years old. But, I mean, you know, I still have recollection, good memories of them up to that point. Like, our family was just, like, on a little ranch out there in the back road. Like, everybody was tight-knit. That happened. Shit kind of went south, you know what I mean? Like, you know, mom and dad's side not getting along, or, like, people within one side of the family not getting along. And then we're just fucking kids with, like, nowhere to go, you know what I mean? So somebody had to take us in, but well, mainly me. My brother and sister were already old enough to claim independent.
What happened, if you don't mind me asking?
No, I don't mind. Whenever I was five, it just happened to be, it's fucking crazy, you know what I mean? You want to tell people that don't know, they're like, what? But it was a murder, or it was a homicide-suicide, you know what I mean? Murder-suicide. My dad killed my mom and then killed himself.
Wow.
Yeah, and I watched it go down, and it was, I mean, it's fucking wild to think that, like, you know what I mean, a kid, you know what I mean, at that age fucking goes through that. But, like, you know, all the walks of life, bro, like, you know what I mean, all the places I've been, I met people who have been through even fucking wilder shit than I could fathom. You know what I mean? I'm not undermining what I went through, but in a sense, that's why I am who I am. Like, I couldn't imagine how I would be if I still had them, or if my family would have stayed close. But, like, that fucking hit that I took from that tragedy, you know what I mean, that one fucking day, it just resonated in my fucking spirit a different way, to where I like had to grow up fast in a sense of like not needing somebody, you know what I mean? Like I didn't want to fucking need, you know, accompaniment from nobody. I was good at being alone, aside from my brother and sister, man. Like I obviously wanted my family I was close with, but like growing up in like a new town, whenever you go through that shit, like, you know, being a stranger to like all these fucking kids, you know what I mean? It's just weird, but in a way it made me callous, bro. And like throughout, you know what I mean, despite hardships and like my, you know, unableness to deal with adversity at ages, you know what I mean, like from 18 to fucking 25, you right. know what I mean, I had crazy.
What did you feel, you know, like some formative years, you know, going through puberty, trying, you know, becoming a man, like what did you feel about that?
Yeah, well, at the time, you know what I mean, it's like I'm growing up with this aunt and uncle who, in that sense, like my uncle was my mom's brother, so I could see like how if he looked at my face and saw my dad in my face, he fucking had like subconscious resentment, because it's like, yeah, your fucking dad killed my sister or whatever, you know what I mean? Like that kind of shit. But nonetheless, I mean, that's just some shit we had to hash out over the years, bro, because I mean, I love, that's like my dad. My uncle's like my dad. My aunt's like my mom. Mm-hmm. I love them dearly to this day. We're fucking close, you know what I mean? Like as close as family gets. So I'm very grateful for that, because, you know, that's a strong support system to have. But at that time, you know what I mean, I'm a fucking asshole, you know what I mean? Like, you're a kid, right, like, you're right. Not my real fucking mom and dad, yeah. Like, you know what I mean? But like, you don't know, like, I'm staying under their roof, they're feeding me, fucking taking care of me, you know what I mean, putting an instrument in my hands, making sure that I got some direction, which, you know what I mean, until you grow up and you look back, you don't know how to really appreciate that, because you're so rebellious at that point in time, whenever you're a teenager and going through shit amongst your peers and doing fuck shit here and there, yeah. You know what I mean, you rebel against your folks, you know what I mean? And it wasn't my real folks, so that gave them, me an
yeah, you
extra.
Go even harder. Yeah.
Exactly. But, you know, looking back now, it's like, bro, I mean, I had it fucking, I had it really good, you know?
That's amazing. You can come from that place and say that you had it really good. It's the only way to kind of...
I owe it all to my family, bro. I mean, I, you know what I mean? Because that shit didn't break down the love and bond of my family. A lot of it goes to my grandma, who was my mom's mom, because she lived with us even when my parents were alive, to help raise me, because I came so late in the game. Like I was conceived in Vegas, and I shouldn't even have been a thing. But thank goodness I was, right? Whatever. But my grandma helped raise me even when they were alive, and then she stayed with me throughout all our years until she passed away at 97 back in like 2013. But even then, like us losing her, because she was like the fucking, she is forever the rock of our family, right. Which is a huge family. She had seven kids, yeah. And then fucking they had all their kids and blah, and then now we're all close or whatever. But she, bro, like by the time she was on her way out, she had already like, of course it was heartbreaking because I mean, I love her. That was like my angel on earth, dog. Like, you know, but she had me so conditioned to like, yeah, everybody's good. I'm good. I'm ready. I'm tired. You know what I mean? I'm fucking tired. I've been here. I lost three of my fucking kids. I lost all right. my brothers and sisters. You know what I mean? I could barely remember shit anymore, but she had a good way of breaking that down and making me understand it and be strong and having to face that day. You know what I mean? Which, I mean, dude, bro, like I couldn't have asked for a better upbringing than that woman gave me, because she just taught me like humility and gratefulness. And to me, like gratitude is like the fucking, it's the thing, bro. Like that's the driving force to, you know, being having this magnetic pull with good vibes, you know, and positivity is being grateful.
Yeah. Graciousness and gratefulness are like, it's everything.
Yeah.
Do you ever write about this?
I haven't really sat down and done it yet. My sister's actually working right now on a documentary that she wants to put out, which involves some of it, but it's mainly along her. She does like Reiki healing and like different modalities. So she like talks to different folks.
Right. But what about like, I mean, writing songs?
Oh, well, I mean, I think it correlates into like my whole approach in writing, bro. You know what I mean? Just, the emotion behind it. I haven't really made a direct song about, you know, my folks or nothing like that. But I feel like their relationship, that tragic love story, like that, I mean, I feel so, you know, privy to that through what I went through experiencing their shit, that's what I write about. And I feel like it comes out easy, and it even almost like romanticized, or like almost like making it a fucking sad song, a happy song by the way you deliver it. You know what I mean? And it's just like life, you know? Yeah, like I got one called Moonstruck. It's like I miss the way that we could have been, and if I could, then I would again. You know, and it's just basically talking about, it's like a metaphor of like a werewolf freaking out in the light whenever you could see everything going good and then fucking shit up. You know what I mean? And literally like letting your demons out on somebody. But yeah, I mean, that all that shit comes from me knowing how tragic a love story can be, but yet love is so sought after. You know what I mean? Regardless, dude.
There's like two sides of this thing. And is like, to try and put it gently, like there's your father who was obviously just incredibly tormented, you know, and dying inside. And then there's your mother who's like represents just complete and utter innocence.
Right.
You know, an innocent life who is in the wake of someone who's living a horrible life inside their own head.
Whoa, dude.
Which is a very visceral thing.
Yeah. Well, it's fucked up in that sense because, dude, my dad was like, he was like the fucking cornerstone for his family down there and like for everybody, and was like the fucking chief of the fire department and shit down there for a while. And he was just this manly man and good. And dude, literally never laid a fucking hand on my mom. Like, didn't he? The thing with him is he just couldn't fucking not cheat eventually. So eventually, when she was like, all right, enough, I want to get a divorce. Me and the kids are going to fucking move like closer to my family in Kingsville, Ricardo. I think that's whenever he started to crumble. And down there, dude, like, it's still the same to this day, bro. Like, it's easy to get caught up stewing in your own shit. Because there's
people not communicate?
Well, it's like everything is what you have in front of you down there. Like, over here in this city, dude, there's opportunity around every fucking corner. Over there, you're on a backcountry fucking road, and all you got is what you got right there, dude. And so when you're just stewing in this vibe and like, you know what I mean, he feels like his world's coming to an end. What he did, you know what I mean, obviously that's always going to be fucking a selfish choice to ever fucking,
There's two things that he did that are selfish.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, absolutely. You know what I mean? Because he could have fucking taken him. But nonetheless, it's like, bro, I mean, exactly how you put it, you know, it's two different worlds. And, you know, both those families kind of reflected what, you know, like my dad's side reflected how my dad was and how he went about it, and my mom's was the same. You know what I mean? They felt more like at victim. They were like, what the fuck? You know what I mean? And my dad's was like, well, dude, what the fuck? I mean, it's not us, it was him, but like, what was going on? It's like all that bullshit. I left it and luckily got picked up by like the right fucking people and just kept moving. You know what I mean? I think that's part of why I'm able to deal with, you know, adversity and trauma in a sense. You know, not always saying I was good at it, but like now I just know it's part of the fucking the recipe, dude. And you know what? If you could take those colors and put them on your palette and use them in a certain way, then, you know, I mean, you're giving back to the world.
Are you, you're not sober. You're just, you like to work sober though.
Yeah. When I'm playing, I like to fucking be like between my eyes, you know, mommy. I definitely like to party though, but I mean,
right.
But you know, I like to be, you know, I mean, definitely as sharp as I can fucking be while I'm doing my job. You know what I mean? It's professionalism. And I think it also comes with being able to feel everything. Like that's the most important part of it because, you know, having a little, you know, I mean, whatever, loosening up, dog. Like, you know,
of course,
people
no,
will do
I,
a shot.
This is how alcohol kind of works its way into my life, and then you know, there's other recreational drugs,
right,
you know.
Right.
But I'm surrounded by people who are very like minded in that, like, yeah, we can party if we want, but like, there's shit we got to get done,
yeah,
and we're incredibly fearful of what will happen to our minds if we do drink.
Right.
And one of those things, obviously, I think the most noticeable thing is a hangover. I'm so scared of a hangover. But I'm also just like, in my mind, I don't feel like I've earned the right for myself, right? The right to put some sort of poison in my brain, right? Like, I it's hard for me to kind of just like manage throughout the day, like it is for most people. Mm-hmm. Like, there are points in your day where you're like, oh my God, this sucks. Like life, like shit's going down. Like without sounding like I'm going crazy type of thing, but everyone feels that.
Right.
So until that doesn't happen, why would I add gasoline to that fire?
Right, right. No, I agree.
And so like what I've noticed is like my boys and I will go out to like, we'll go and have dinner with like 10 dudes. Not a single beer or alcohol will be drank. Like, you know, and it's an event. Like back in Chicago where I grew up, like people were getting shit faced. It was Tuesday, all the boys met up. Are you kidding me? Let's go. Yeah. We gotta do it.
Fucking beers with the boys.
Beers, yeah. But now it's like we're all kinda like, nah, dude, I got shit I gotta do tomorrow, and I'm totally cool with your company without it. And it's been really cool. And if you can kinda maintain that,
yeah,
like it will substantially push you guys further. And I was watching, you know, Bercy, and I don't know, Bishop was drinking. But Bercy, you know, he's drinking Ramblers the whole time.
Right.
I think you're drinking Ramblers, just kind of puffing on the vape when you need to.
Right, yeah.
But yeah, I think there's something to be said about that.
Yeah. And Bishop, dude, I mean, he don't drink beer like ever. He don't do that. Like, so he'll do a little shot of whiskey, but he'll sip on it. And I get that. Cause I mean, in a way that is, whiskey's always like good for throat clear, you know what I mean? Like that's the other little thing that comes with it. But no, I just agree, dude. I mean, it's the same thing, dog. Like, I mean, the years go on as we get older, you know, our bodies don't fucking process alcohol the same. I'm 32.
Same, bro. Let's go.
What 32 kings, what? Dude.
When were you born?
91.
Oh, 91. Okay.
Yeah, February of 91.
Oh,
yeah.
February. Okay. Sorry, I interrupted you totally.
No, you're good. No, but what I was just saying, dude, is I mean, like I said, it's good to be behind here and feel everything. You know what I mean? Like what I was getting at earlier with like that whole like fucking stigma of loosening up. Oh, let me loosen up. It's almost better to not loosen up. It's better to fucking have your nerves and feel that shit.
Yeah, because the better you get at beating them.
Yeah.
Yes.
Then it's just fucking a cakewalk. You know what I mean? And
bro, have you ever done any martial art at all?
Or I used to box sports? Whenever I was younger. I used to, but it's just boxing, like regular boxing, not kickboxing or nothing.
So, like, there's the nerves that martial arts gives you the most nerves of anything ever because you have to fight.
Yeah.
So, that is one of the coolest things that I've seen. And I'm speaking of like competitive jiu-jitsu players just because that was like what I've done.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I love, and it's just this thing that's intangible, is people's ability, willingness to just jump in a fight and be like, whatever, I don't fucking care.
Yeah.
And like, that right there is a fucking superpower.
Yeah, dude, absolutely.
So my good friend, Pat Byrne, who I got to show you his music. He's a crusher.
Hell yeah.
He's more singer-songwriter, more folk music.
Hell yeah.
And he's got that. He's, well, fuck, cool. He's Irish, and he won The Voice in Ireland in 2012.
Oh, shit.
Pretty funny, because, like, his sound now is not at all poppy.
Yeah, I love that Celtic shit.
Yeah. And he's a killer. He'll just get up and be like, yep, here we go. Boom. Just can play in front of it. Doesn't matter the audience size. Doesn't matter where, when. He didn't warm up. Nothing.
That's wild.
Yeah. Because, and he's off booze. He's an Irish dude being off booze, bro.
Yeah.
Okay, he was like, dude, I found myself drinking every single night because I was gigging every single night. And I would finish the gig and everyone would be like, come drink with me. And I'm like, yeah, I'm Irish. Let's go. Like, fuck, yeah. This is my thing, dog. And like, he was waking up hungover, feeling like shit all day, you know, maybe have one meal, get to the next gig and just pull out his guitar and repeat over and over again. So he did like Dry January. And he liked it so much, he just kept it going.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. I mean, because that shit will catch up to you, man. You definitely got to learn how to fucking balance out your formula. However it is.
Have you heard of this band, Bring Me the Horizon?
I've heard of them.
There was like this thing called The Scene in like the MySpace era. The Scene. Yeah, it was the guys with the hair.
The Scene Kids.
Scene Kids.
Yeah.
And that definitely wasn't my style of music. Uh-huh. But they were the big fucking, they were pretty big in that era.
Who was The Scene though? What is that person?
I guess it's called, listeners are going to be like, ooh, screaming. Yeah. You know, it's like metalcore and deathcore is obviously a lot of screaming, you know, but really fucking talented, insanely talented kids though. Yeah, so Bring Me the Horizon started at like 17 years old and they like made it at 17 in The Scene.
Yeah.
And then there was a little point where they shifted their music and their music became more popular and they became more pop kind of bass. Mm-hmm. They did a song with MGK. They did a song with Ed Sheeran. Like,
oh, okay.
They like blew the fuck up. And obviously everyone from The Scene was like, fucking sell out.
Yeah. I mean, that's how it goes, dude.
So my best friend and roommate, Chris Williamson, he knows them from back home in the UK. And so he's like, do you want to come with to one of their shows? We can go to sound check. We can watch backstage and everything. I'm like, yeah, cool. I didn't really listen to them at the time. I show up, dude, and it's like, there's a line. This is 5 hours before the gig.
Yeah.
There's a line like all the way around the block to get in. Like, people have tattoos of their fucking band. Like, this,
I mean, commitment.
These dudes are like the real fucking deal.
Yeah.
And they wanted to do some training. So I have a video of all of this. It's on my YouTube channel. So we picked him up. We did like a little weightlifting session. I interviewed like the lead singer and the drummer and dropped him back off. Went to soundcheck, was on stage while they're fucking playing these things with like the lights. Dude, it's massive production. Then we get to go and watch the gig. Absolutely sold out.
Yeah.
Like mosh pits. And I mean, it was fucking insane. Yeah. Insane. But what I noticed was they are such fucking pros.
Yeah.
Because they've been doing this for over a decade and they're all sober. They were absolute shithead drinkers, partiers. Now I talked to the lead singer, Ollie. He trains every single day. He eats as clean as possible. He also, his singing went out with that, you know, the strain that he puts on. His singing went out. So he started he got a vocal coach. He like has like supplements that he takes for his voice and shit. And I'm sitting here, I'm like, I did not expect this out of rock stars to live like athletes.
There you got to, bro.
You know what I mean?
Making it. Fuck yeah. I mean, that's the only people that have longevity. It's always the same pattern. You know what I mean? And yeah, whether it's weaning out or like having to come to an abrupt halt, you know, which, you know, thank the Lord that none of us really have that, you know, that fucking extent of, you know, an issue or a fucking substance abuse problem. But either way, like, I mean, dude, the more clear-headed you could be and the more you could take care of your body, you know what I mean? Because that's what it comes down to. I mean, the longer you're going to fucking last.
And the,
I mean,
dude,
the more clear you're going to sound, you know?
This is crazy. This is, I love the parallel between training and music here, okay? So this is something that I say a lot. Whoever can train the longest and accrue the most volume will win in the end.
Yeah.
They might not win even 10 years in, 15 years in, but they'll be that 16th year. And then all of a sudden they're fucking winning.
Yeah.
And that's because they didn't get injured. It's because they continued to be smart with their training, be smart with their bodies, be smart with their mind. Those people win. Another saying that I have is like, as long as you exist, you can win.
Yeah.
So it's like fighting the good fight over and over and over again. And the only way you can do that is with the good practices.
Yeah.
The same goes for music. Yeah. It's the same thing. Like if you guys just keep going, you will see these bands that you think are better than you. Right. You think I've made it more than you, have more plays, more streams. You'll see them die out and you guys will continue to go. It happens. It will happen over and over and over again.
Yeah, that's just the way it goes. That's the wheel of that, man. I love that shit, man. It keeps me going. I love having a rabbit to chase. That's why this is one of my favorite fucking cities to be in. Because, I mean, I'm surrounded by just killers, dude. Like some of the best fucking musicians I've ever seen in my life play their instrument.
Yeah, that's like not even, that's objective fucking truth, dude. Yeah. This is, dude, some motherfucker at a dinner had the gall to say that Austin music is shitty because he grew up in, or because he lived in Nashville. And I was like, he was like, where are they playing music? I'm like, where are they not playing music?
Yeah. I mean, dude, I get it, but I hear from people that are from Nashville that fucking play with us, you know, what it is and what the difference is. And yeah, dude, technicality wise, those fucking musicians over there, I mean, they're monsters, you know what I mean? But they're playing the fucking golden era of country covers all up and down the street. You know what I mean? It's mainly that. It's mainly people doing what have fucking been done. Great. You know what I mean? Awesome. Yeah. You can do the same thing that has fucking been done time and time again. Great. Cool.
This is why I wanted to know where you're from, because this is the Austin right here, is the Stevie guys.
Yeah.
So I know you know this, but like, there's like so many dudes with SRV tattoos on them.
Yeah.
And I went to
check it out. No, I'm just kidding.
I was like, oh, fuck. No, because that's why I was wondering if you were like kind of awesome based. So I know this guy. I went to a gig and then this dude, he's kind of wearing like flared jeans a little bit with a Miller Lite like 80s t-shirt tucked in with the belt buckle, has a mullet.
Laser?
Kind of like laser.
Kind of like
sick mustache.
Yeah.
Like sick mustache. And I have a pack of cigarettes on me, and I'm like, he just sits down next to us. Like, that was awesome, man. Your gig's fucking great. He was the lead guitarist. I'm like, you want a cigarette? He's like, nah, man. I'm like, look at you, bro.
Yeah.
You have to have a cigarette right now.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, you're fucking right. Give me one of those. But anyways, I'm talking to that guy. I'm like, what's the fucking deal? Like, these random dudes come into this gig. It's at some shit bar, and they absolutely pump. Yeah. All of them are lead singers. All of them are lead guitarists at the same time. So like dudes are like, you know, exactly. And he's like, this is the thing, bro. A lot of these dudes have been in Austin for a decade now. And we literally are obsessed with Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Yeah.
And he's like, I used to ditch school and go to the same record store that Stevie used to hang out at. Like, that's what me and my boys did.
Yeah.
And all we would do is, like, look at this lick that I got from this one solo. Like, that's how obsessed people were in Austin. And I think that's so fucking cool, dude.
Yeah.
I wish I had a guy like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, it's like that, bro. I mean, shit, dude. Gary Clark's, you know, the Gary Clark's up there, bro. I mean, he's that. And the badass part about him is that he's fucking as cool as
humble,
you can
right?
get, bro. I mean, just
do you know him?
Great. Yeah, I mean, I've met him a couple times. You know what I mean? He's seen us play a couple times, you know what I mean, kind of earlier on. But, I mean, he's always been supportive and very, like, dude, I mean, his advice is, like, you're doing it right. Like, you're doing the steps right. Keep doing that. And so, like, that's always a good affirmation to get from somebody who's literally a fucking legend. You know what I mean?
Did you see his Crossroads tour performance?
Yeah, dude. Yeah, so, I mean, he's a monster.
I saw a comment on there, and it said Gary Clark, you know, was in Austin gigging for forever, and he was given this opportunity to be on Crossroads tour with like John Mayer, and obviously it's Eric Clapton's thing. I think it's a Crossroads tour. I'm pretty sure it's like a famous gig of him. And he was given this opportunity. Like, he was pretty much a nobody. But in Austin, he had a good fan base. And he fucking nailed it.
Yeah.
He nailed his opportunity. Yeah. And that, like, sends chills down my spine, man.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys were, like, if you were approached by Gary Clark.
Yeah.
And he's like, I got a little festival. We got all these fucking absolute crushers.
Where
do you guys want to play a set?
We're going to come burn it down, bro.
Let's go.
You know it. I mean, bro, like, I mean, dude, it's like this, dog. Like, we are a bolt of lightning. And whatever body of water we hit, however big the body of water is, whether it's a little fucking pond in the backyard of somebody's fucking place where we've had to play before, or if it's a fucking stage in front of thousands of people, we're going to hit it like we hit it. You know what I mean? Yeah. I'd know that for a fucking fact. Like, that's what I condition myself for every single day. You know what I mean? Like, it's just to show up and literally, like, throw your whole pole, dude. It's just to show the fuck up and fuck.
What's gigging like?
I've
done a few. I've done quite a few gigs, but, like, for you at this point, what's going through your mind?
Bro, I'm eager. Like, by the time it's an hour and a half before a fucking gig,
like, slapping your thigh.
Yeah, dude. And then we get set up, and then we're ready to sound check. And then we got 15 minutes before set time, you know what I mean? Which I know eventually that's not going to be the thing. We're going to have so much shit to do. It's just going to be set up for us eventually, you know? But I mean, in right now, like, I'm always just ready to go. Like, I'm fucking fired up.
Yeah.
I'm fired up.
So we went, the first time I met you, we were getting crawfish.
Yeah.
And it was probably like 4 o'clock. I could already tell you were jonesing to get the fuck out of there and ready to play.
Yeah, dude. I'm just always ready. I'm like, dude, it's time for me to go do what I do. You know what I mean? And they're hanging out with, you know, fucking comedians flying in from LA who had their roast battle. You know what I mean? I'm talking to them. We're all just eating crawfish, going at it, making our face sweat.
What do you think about Austin right now? This explosion?
I love it. I think what's happening right now is that even, it's helping the musicians that were already doing this shit for a decade before here. I mean, dude, I've been going at it.
Yeah, Ellis just followed me on Instagram.
Yeah, man.
And so I followed him back. I saw he was on Laser's podcast. Yeah. I looked up his music. He's amazing, that dude.
Yeah, they're great. His whole band, I fucking love them.
Yeah, and he had a post being like, man, we've been doing this shit for a long time, and finally Austin is blowing up. And he posted this video of Rogan being like, dude, what the hell's, like, shit is happening here.
Yeah.
This Austin music scene, not even music, arts, tech, culture, yeah. everything is here.
Yeah.
So that's why I think, like, the comparison between Nashville, it's not even a comparison. Like, maybe Nashville is here, it's the big juggernaut, but there's some motherfucker growing over
it's
here.
It's more neat. Hey, look, you want me to keep it a fucking thousand wowsing about please. What Nashville is? It's very niche. You know what I mean? It's a fucking niche because it is that pop culture country music. And you know what I mean? I'm not saying that that's all those motherfuckers can play, but that's what they're playing. And that's what's resonating in that fucking atmosphere of that city, bro. Like, when people go there, you know what I mean? And cool, you know what I mean? You can keep the boots on or whatever, that's what you want to do. But here, it's fucking rock and roll. It's fucking, it's art, it's comedy at the peak of its
Yeah, the
fucking,
best comedy. Like, yeah, it's about not even close. Yeah.
Another breakthrough, bro. Like, Woodstock 69 was a breakthrough, and then it kind of fucking fluttered into the coming ages of music. You know what I mean? Like, everything that was played thereafter kind of had a piece of that. That's what's happening in Austin with just the whole fucking vibe and everybody coming here. And
bro, I'm so glad we're here.
Yeah.
When we are here.
Oh, yeah.
And not coming here this year.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You guys are already established. You got a place to live. You guys got a place to gig. You got a fucking album out. And then the explosion is happening. Right. Rather than trying to move from LA to here, establish some connections and work and figure it all out in this year, that kind of sucks. You were here pre-pandemic already setting up the fucking base to now be in this position right now, which is fucking awesome. Right. And I cannot wait for this album to come out.
Yeah, I'm ready, dude.
I'm stoked, dude. All right, we'll finish it there.
Yeah.
But play one more song. Okay. You got one?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, let's do it. I'll give you a little thing. Yeah, that was great.
Yeah. Bobby Flacco, y'all. And this will end the podcast.
Let's see what I got, baby. All right, this is a good one right here. I'll do it for you. Thank you. trying to turn back the time, rekindle bridges I might have burned back then with old friends of mine. I'm thinking back on them good old days. Oh man, dude.
Go, go, go. You got it. You got it. I don't give a shit.
All right.
Cough. Really? Just fucking.
Oh, baby.
Let's go. Yeah.
I'm thinking back on the time before I gone off the deep end. I was trying, yeah. I swear I'm doing everything that I can, baby. Yeah, I'm not lying. Oh, and I'm trying. And I'm tired, yeah, yeah. Yeah, little bucket, little
there we
bit,
go.
Yeah. Little taste, dude. Y'all come see us, man. Come see us sometime. We'll be everywhere.